You're listening to BusinessAmericaRadio.com, the leader in live business talk radio.
Welcome to Managing Technology the Right Way with your host, Sunjo Gall, brought to you by the University of Phoenix Online. If you don't have time for college, let the college come to you via the Internet. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers. Now showing you how to manage technology the right way, here's Sunjo Gall.
Good morning, folks, and welcome to the show. It needs careful planning and flawless execution to make technology work for us. But how many times do we succeed? On this show, we invite business leaders and subject matter experts with extensive experience in technology management. The intent here is to learn from their experience and discuss better ways to manage technology. To learn more about the show, please visit talkshow.avval.com. That is talkshow.avval.com. Today's topic is the Service Resolution Management, that is SRM Wave. Our guest for today's show is Alan Hubbard. Alan joined Kana in June 2002 and currently serves as Executive Vice President of Research and Development. Alan brings more than 20 years of engineering and management expertise to his role at Kana. Prior to Kana, Alan was the Vice President of Engineering for Elta Works Corporation, where he designed and developed an industry-leading web transaction management tool. Prior to Elta Works, Alan held various management positions at Hewlett-Packard Company, including Worldwide Technology Program Manager, Enterprise Accounts Organization. Good morning, Alan. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
How's life treating you?
Oh, excellent. Very good.
Now, we have been talking about SRM lately. Earlier, it was CRM. Whenever any technology is brought into being, there's always a compelling business need. I hope there's a compelling business need always. What is the case of SRM?
Well, it's very interesting. If you look at CRM from a historical perspective, what you see in the early 80s and 90s, we did a really good job routing the customer's phone calls, putting them to the right agent, and things like that. And then over the last 10 years, we've also done a really nice job of tracking those cases, so managing that interaction. But what we haven't done a really good job is actually solving the customer's problem. And so when we look at this, we do a lot of work with SSPA, which is the Service and Support Professionals Association, which is really our target market when we look at who we're trying to sell into. And what they have come back and told us, when they look at what's the cost of providing service, if you look at what it costs to provide the service of routing a call, it's only 5%. And if you look at the cost of what it takes to track a case, it's 15%. Where our call centers are spending all of their money on, and the most expensive thing they have, is 80% of the dollars spent in a contact center is spent on service resolution, solving the customer's problem. And today, we don't have anything that does that. And so what we're bringing to the market at Kana is service resolution, and with the goal there of actually solving the customer's problems.
So when you mention about this 5% and 15% and the 80%, isn't that the very reason why CRM was built, is to effectively kind of deal with that problem? Like, basically what you're trying to do, after all, at the end of it, a human being is talking to another human being and trying to solve a problem. CRM was created as more the right type of plumbing that's needed for the information to flow effectively so that eventually this problem gets solved. So where were the bottlenecks which kind of gave rise to the SRM wave?
I agree. CRM was invented to manage the customer interaction and to resolve the customer's problems. And the focus, though, has really been on the management of that. And what has always been missing as part of that is integrating the overall business process with CRM. So people have done a great job of implementing products like Kana's Contact Center, PeopleSoft, Siebel. All of these things are in place. People have spent a tremendous amount of money, and they do a great job of managing that interaction. But there is no real integration back into any kind of business process that might actually help you solve the customer's problems. When you go into a contact center today, it's really kind of interesting because you'll walk up to the computer that they're using, and it is literally covered with little yellow stickies. And then you look at the books and the manuals and the bookcases behind them, and you pull out a manual, and it's dog-eared, and it's highlighted, and you say to them, how do you solve your problems? And they say, well, this is it. And you look around, and you say, this is how I'm solving my problem. I have the answer to this question up here on this little yellow sticky. I have it in this manual. And when that person walks out the door, so goes that knowledge. And so what we're trying to do is take that knowledge and actually automate it and provide a mechanism that we can drive people to concise, cohesive, and accurate answers every single time. Because the other problem is, if you put a call into a contact center and you get an agent, you talk to him or her, and they may give you an answer. You call back a little later, you know, you may get an almost a different, you get a different agent, you might get a different answer. And that just doesn't promote customer confidence at all.
So, okay, let's pick up a scenario. For example, I call into one of these known telecom companies, and what you're saying is exactly right. Every time I get a different answer. Now, what is happening there? Are they not putting their notes properly, or every time they're looking into, they're basically thinking aloud and telling us what could be the problem versus actually going back and looking at a library or a knowledge base that would have been created over time?
There could be, and, you know, there could be a knowledge base, there could be a set of manuals. One of the real issues that the telecom companies today have is that they are, there's two things, actually. One is the turnover in the call centers is tremendous. I think it averages in the telecom industry about 40% a year. So there's a whole host of training issues that they have and bringing people up to speed on their systems as they go through this. The other issue, as you look at this, is they come out with new products, and I'm not talking about one new product, but 10 to 15 to 20 products a year. And so now these agents need to get up to speed very, very quickly. And it's almost impossible for them to do this. We today are working with a large telecom company implementing SRM there. And when they came back to us in similar environment as I described before, we actually sat down with them and said, okay, let's document the business processes that your agents use on a daily basis. They came back with 1,100. 1,100. There is no way any human being can remember all of those. And there's no way that you can ensure that you're going to get the same answer across from different people. And so even though they may have knowledge bases, the ability to get that information out is going to be done by the person who's actually accessing the knowledge base. So one person may do a search one way, another person may do a search another way. They may not get the same answer. So what we're trying to do is we're providing a mechanism, a business process on top of that that allows you to define that and then drive the people to the right answer.
So it's almost like a decision support system or an expert system which kind of understands what is the kind of nature of the problem you plug in the right. It's almost like a Google, if I were to really say.
A little bit more sophisticated than that, but it truly does rely on search technology. It truly does rely on knowledge management technology, but it also relies on you being able to define your business process. And that is sometimes the most difficult piece of this, is really, like I said, this telecommunications company that we're working with today, is they had 1,100 business processes, and, oh, by the way, they want to go live next June with this. Well, finally, we looked at it and said, well, in the time we have, we can define 100 or 150 and go from there. And over time, they'll be able to do those the other, you know, 1,000 to get them out the door.
Now, when we discussed about, you know, as you described SRM and what we also know about CRM, there is a significant amount of overlap in there. But if we were to itemize the overlaps in so that we have a clarity of understanding, what are those overlaps?
I really don't think there is an overlap. What I would look at SRM is as an augmentation or an addition to CRM. So it's something that is missing today. That isn't part of CRM. And what it's going to take, what you now have is within the existing CRM applications, you know, the ability to manage that interaction. Now what we're going to provide is you obviously need that. You have to be able to manage your customer interaction. But now what we'll do as part of tracking that case, you'll be able to go out and actually solve the problem and actually work through and provide the customer in a timely manner, give them the information, give them the answers they need. Because the other part of this is, and we all know this, you know, it is a tough market to sell into, and you really need to have happy customers. And part of the things that you see, and, you know, again, some of the work that we've done with SSPA, is we have seen customer satisfaction in the financial industries, for example, over the last 8 years has dropped like a rock. And so what that means is our customers are unhappy. And if we can't make them happy, and when do we get a chance to talk to them is when they call us. So if we can now bring them in, satisfy their issues, resolve their problem, we are more likely going to be able to sell them something later because they're going to remember that interaction with you.
So when we talk about SRM, we definitely did pick up some of the chronic issues that you mentioned, like, you know, people, every time we go and we can get a different agent, he has a different answer. Are there any other chronic issues that you see which are actually being addressed by the solution?
Yes, there's a couple things. One is overall, and I touched on it a little while ago, is the fact that when you look at the training costs that you have in the call centers today, again, because of turnover, it is almost prohibitive that, you know, as you bring new people in, the training that you have to give them, and the training is usually on the systems. How do you use my billing system? How do I use the customer information system? How do I use the order fulfillment system? And so you're training people on systems as opposed to your business process. And that, what that happens is those are very difficult to learn, they're very difficult to understand, and they're very difficult for people to manage as they're talking to a customer. So that, all of that contributes to the high turnover. And so what you do when you bring SRM in, you don't train people on systems. What you train them on is business process. How do I manage my business? How do I execute within my own company? And in that way, you can easily start to train them more quickly. And so they learn faster, and you have, you're training them on a business process as opposed to multiple IT systems. So really, you know, that's what SRM brings to the table there. So now you're actually reducing training costs and the time that it takes to bring agents up to speed and things like that.
If suppose a customer has CRM in place, and CRM could actually exist, it could be mostly manual, it could be a hybrid between automation and manual or totally automated. Now, in each case, you're saying that you know, SRM is more like an augmentation to CRM. Doesn't it become like a weakest link issue based on how strong their CRM system is going to actually... Finally, you know, at the end of the day, an user does not care whether we have a very sophisticated CRM system plus SRM system, but what they see is that whether their problems got solved or not. When you are providing SRM solutions out there to the customers, what is the level of prerequisite that you would put in place for them to, for you to have a claim that yes, SRM is going to work? Because if their CRM is not up to speed or does not have the potential or the power that you would expect it to have, the end result would be that the customers will not be able to be satisfied because SRM cannot carry the whole load by itself.
Right. So that's an excellent question. And, you know, when we look at it today, so we take just for, you know, what we like to say is, you know, we're an augmentation strategy with SRM. We're not out to rip and replace the Siebel or Kana Contact Center or anything else that you have installed today. So what we've done is we've built out an EAI bus that, you know, from within any contact center, you could implementation, you could actually, well, what we've designed is we've given some custom code that you can put in the kind of contact center into Siebel, whatever, and then essentially what we will do is you click on that, we drag the information from the contact center screen. So we'll pull the necessary information, whether it's, you know, it might be customer information, it might be whatever, and then we'll drop you into SRM. And now this is where you now decide what is the problem I'm trying to solve. And you may say, you know, well, there may be a drop-down list of saying here are the business processes that you want to work through. How do you do that and drive that through? Because what we don't want to do is leave it up to the agent to, again, just, okay, I'm going to search through the knowledge base to find this. We want to say, okay, we are adding a new customer. Okay, what is the business process for that? Well, you know, we need to take the following information, and the screen will pop up and say, here, excuse me, Mr. Customer, here is the information that I need from you right now. Take it. You enter it. You hit enter. Now, from there, what happens is there'll be a call out to the customer information system to update that information. So that happens, as opposed to the agent jumping out to the other screen saying, excuse me while I log into our customer information management system, can you give me this information? Okay, we're done with that now. Okay, now I need some billing information. Let me jump over to the other system. We'll drive you through those systems within what we call a resolution flow, and we'll make those call-outs for you.
So it's basically, you can say, a hybrid between a knowledge management and a workflow management. That is what's going to give the power to, you know, an individual to solve a case.
That's a great characterization.
Great. Let's have a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back after these messages, and we will talk a little bit about how SRM is being priced and what kind of different flavors that are being offered for different segments of the market, because after all, everyone wants to solve their customer problem, may it be a small business, mid-sized business, or a very large organization. So please stay tuned. We'll be right back after these messages.
$75 to 110% more income than non-graduates. But if you don't have time to go to college, let the college come to you via the Internet. At University of Phoenix Online, you can earn your degree when and wherever you want in just 2 to 3 years. University of Phoenix is the largest private accredited university in the U.S. We offer degree programs in business, technology, nursing, education, and more. Call University of Phoenix Online at 1-800-797-3011.
Looking for ways to improve your IT department? Then visit www.avval.com today. Aval is a professional services firm with a mission to help companies align IT with their business objectives through strategy, technology, branding solutions, and services. Our commitment is to ensure bottom-line improvements as a result of services rendered by us. Whether it's an IT needs assessment, strategy development, or related implementation, we back it up by our unconditional, positive ROI guarantee. To find out how Aval can help your company, visit www.aval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Aval, making IT work and look better. www.avval.com. Visit today.
Learn how to be a better leader. Expand your business and management skills. Further your career. The Finishing Touch with Minna Brown. Enhancing your skills, advancing your career. Fridays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern. Minna Brown, host and experienced executive coach, uses a unique combination of hands-on business skills coupled with exceptional communication skills to inspire and inform you on ways to take your career to the next level. Log on to Voice America Business and listen to The Finishing Touch with Minna Brown. Fridays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern.
Keeping you a step ahead of the changing world of business. This is BusinessAmericaRadio.com. Talk radio with a business perspective. This is BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
You are listening to Managing Technology the Right Way, brought to you by the University of Phoenix Online. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free at 1-866-233-7861. Now back to the show. Here's Sun Jogal.
Welcome back to the show, folks. For listeners who just tuned in, today's topic is the Service Resolution Management Wave. Our guest for today's show is Alan Hubbard. Alan is the Executive Vice President of Research and Development with Kana Software. Before the break, we picked up a question which we are supposed to be answering now is the way CRM is being priced, the way it's being brought into the market, at different flavors that are available. Because if you look at every business needs to serve its customer, and definitely they want to do it well. Given that, it could be a 800-pound gorilla, which would equally have a steep price tag, or it could have different levels of service that is available. So how is this whole SRM market, how are these SRM product suites which are being sold being packaged?
We're bringing SRM to market as part of our overall knowledge management offering. So when you buy our knowledge management tool, IQ, you have the possibility to upgrade that with additional functionality, which will give you the SRM functionality as part of that. So that's how we're packaging that and bringing it to the marketplace.
Now, your organization primarily has been dealing with somewhat larger, mid to large size organizations.
Yes.
Here. And as we all know, the economy of this country is also mostly driven by SMBs. So given that, there must be this SRM market or the whole, I don't know how much of quantification has been done in terms of how big this market is, but definitely a very big component of that would be that a small to mid-sized businesses to some extent also get benefited by this. Now, given that maybe Kana doesn't go in there, at the same time, we are looking at the whole industry, this particular solution industry, where other vendors might be positioning to these smaller vendors also. Is there a trend towards that?
I think there is. When we look at, Kana has been very much focused for the past 3 or 4 years on the enterprise space. We have products in 54 of the top 100 companies in the world, and that has been our focus. But even now, we're looking at saying, okay, how do we take, there is a need in the smaller to medium-sized companies to be able to do this. So we've actually started to look at, hosting some of our products for the smaller companies, and I think SRM would be a great thing for companies to do in a hosted environment so that they could have it in a single place and have more of an out-of-the-box use of it.
Let me ask you this. When we see this wireless and mobile technology coming into being, there would definitely be, unless otherwise you're saying customer service is solely being done from a call center, could there not be an avenue where mobile and wireless could be used anytime, anywhere, and if you're talking to one agent, he could always be tracked? I'm just thinking aloud here. So is there a way we can expand what the SRM offers into mobile and wireless?
That's interesting. One of the challenges always of using sort of mobile technology is the user interface piece, because you need to really simplify it greatly in order to do that. But there is no reason why you couldn't use that technology. I think every organization is becoming more and more geographically dispersed. I actually have 5 development sites throughout the world. And I have a large group of people that just work from home. And so as the industry changes, the market changes, the world changes, I think you bring these technologies to the fore, and there is no reason why you couldn't use those types of technologies because people are going to start to demand it.
This basically brings up an idea where one is to solve a customer's problem sitting in a call center or some your own office for that matter. Other is that you might actually go and be visiting a customer and see what's going on at that time, and when they ask you a question, you should be able to look up something while you're sitting there versus looking for a desktop.
Absolutely.
Is just a thought.
Yeah, no, that's a great thought. Just think if you were able to pull out your BlackBerry,
mm-hmm.
And get onto the web, look, run, sit there and say, here are the 15, 20 business processes that we've designed to do in a wireless mode, and then actually execute that and give the customer the answer while you're standing there beside them.
Yeah.
That's customer service.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, while we have the underlying, fabric there, so might as well expand this offering. Maybe this would turn out to be a new feature of your product.
I'm going to have to mention that to my architects. Thank you, Sandra.
All right. Now, are there any additional benefits that could be realized in a B2B environment versus a B2C environment? The reason I say this is because, suppose a telecom company and I'm a residential customer, so the way they would handle a problem with that we are having is, of course, sitting in a call center and things like that. And, of course, we are somehow sending them, we are telling them this is what our problem is. It's a different kind of workflow. Whereas when it turns out to be a B2B, for example, I have an enterprise customer and we are a business, and we would rather have a proactive mechanism that before they actually call us, there could be some kind of a triggering mechanism that a problem occurred. For example, your software, it's installed somewhere. Mm-hmm. Now, before a person actually calls you, you know that something like this has occurred. They click a button, and it automatically sends you a problem, and you're already doing your due diligence so that by the time these guys call you, you've already done the necessary due diligence, and you are far ahead in the game of solving the customer issue. So I'm just trying to look at B2C versus B2B environments in which SRM could play different type of roles, so maybe more proactive and more efficient and effective in case of B2B.
Absolutely. Proactive notification, which is a big part of CRM even today, is critical to this type of thing. And you know, it's if that is a well-defined process or business process that you've worked through, that is an excellent way to implement this, because the sooner you know what the customer's problems are, you know, before they even get on the phone with you, mm-hmm. the better off you are.
And, yeah, and the enterprise customers would actually welcome that, because if you cannot tell your residential customer to put 10 flags in there, but if they know that your customer service turnaround time would be cut into half if their enterprise application could introduce this trigger, something which you provide to them, which further beacons back into your servers or does something like that,
yep.
which could further enhance your customer service capabilities.
Exactly. That is something that, you know, we're hearing more and more out in the field. You know, people, again, proactively wanting to be able to solve their customer's problem.
Now, looking from the packaging, after all, with all the discussions that we've had, we've seen that it's knowledge management and then secure communication, especially for enterprise who want to have secure communication about the issues that they're having, and self-service capability and automated messaging, and all other mature technologies, which were in some form or fashion available in an enterprise, and we are in SRM kind of packaging them. I'm just looking at it as, are we supposed to be replacing those technologies? Because at the end of it, your SRM is packaging the same set of technologies, and if a company already has those technologies, would they just toss them and use SRM?
It's kind of interesting you ask that. When I think about this, and I've seen a number of companies take our knowledge management tool, and our knowledge management tool sits on a framework that has business rules as part of it, and they've attempted to do SRM, you know, because our knowledge management tool has decision trees in there and things like that. And what it means, you know, what they're doing is they're really, you know, tying it together with, you know, baling wire and then bubble gum, because it's not a cohesive set of technologies that work well together. And so when you look at this, yeah, these technologies are out there, and people could spend a tremendous amount of time to work through these and say, I'm going to tie all these things, and they could build their own SRM. That is definitely a possibility. What SRM will bring to the table is, you know, this is going to be a tool that is built to solve this problem. It's going to be a tool that works well together. It's going to have associated business rules, workflow, scripting, and a user interface that is going to allow you to build those things out. So it's much more user-friendly, it's much more intuitive, and it's much, much easier to get up and running. You know, you can install the product and then use it right then.
So you're saying that there could be some redundancy if at all a company had to adopt SRM, then there could be some redundancy in the packages that they already had, but simply because those packages were not being used effectively in automating a business process or handling a workflow, even though the money was spent in that, it's worth spending money again into a somewhat tightly integrated application like SRM?
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Now, at the same time, the follow-up question I had for that is, just because SRM kind of tightly integrates a bunch of technologies which exist there and or workflow aspects which are already there, we are again getting into the, you know, you can say dilemma with respect to open architectures and tightly integrated ERPs. I would not call it an ERP, but this is your mini ERP, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we take care of a situation where a tightly integrated systems were think of the past and people don't want to deal with them anymore, because if you had to pull the plug on a smaller piece, you could not. And if you had to make a change, it's a mammoth change. So let's take care of this question and discuss this in more detail when we come back from the break. Please stay tuned, listeners. I'll be right back. We'll be right back after these messages.
Today, College graduates average 75 to 110% more income than non-graduates. But if you don't have time to go to college, let the college come to you via the Internet. At University of Phoenix Online, you can earn your degree when and wherever you want in just 2 to 3 years. University of Phoenix is the largest private accredited university in the U.S. We offer degree programs in business, technology, nursing, education, and more. Call University of Phoenix Online at 1-800-797-3011.
Looking for ways to improve your IT department? Then visit www.avval.com today. Aval is a professional services firm with a mission to help companies align IT with their business objectives through strategy, technology, branding solutions, and services. Our commitment is to ensure bottom-line improvements as a result of services rendered by us. Whether it's an IT needs assessment, strategy development, or related implementation, we back it up by our unconditional, positive ROI guarantee. To find out how Aval can help your company, visit www.aval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Aval, making IT work and look better. www.avval.com. Visit today.
Do you want to get a step ahead on your competition? Don't get left behind. Tune in to A Step Ahead, moving your business forward to extraordinary results with Pat McGraw every Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time. Pat and her guests will show you how to build your company's competitive advantage by leveraging your human assets. So whether you're a large business looking to meet market demand and increase profit, or a small business just getting your feet wet in today's business world, tune in to A Step Ahead, moving your business forward to extraordinary results with Pat McGraw. Turn your organization into a competitive advantage every Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Bottom Line of Business Talk, BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
Keeping you a step ahead of the changing world of business, this is BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
Welcome back to Managing Technology the Right Way with Sun Jogal, brought to you by the University of Phoenix Online. Call in with your questions at 1-866-233-7861. Now back to the show. Here's Sun Jogal.
Welcome back to the show, folks. For listeners who've just tuned in, today's topic is the Service Resolution Management Wave. Our guest for today's show is Alan Hubbard. Alan is the Executive Vice President of Research and Development with Kana Software. Before the break, we picked up a point where we spoke about SRM being kind of a packaging of different knowledge management, secure communication, self-service capability, automated messaging-related mature technologies, and we are packaging them. And when we are packaging them for it to effectively and efficiently work or basically handle a workflow, that means in a way we are tightly packaging them. That brings up an important point of what problems we have with an ERP application is that once you want to fix one thing, there's a lot of regression issues and other things that might pop up which would cause more problem than the benefit that we will get out of it. So how SRM is being packaged so that it eats the cake and have it too, it does not have the problems that an ERP has of tight integration, at the same time be able to follow the, you know, the right path of open architecture where you can do plug and plays and things like that.
That's a great question. The way we look at this, and, you know, the product itself has been architected on J2EE and .NET with utilization of web services. So it is an open architecture that you can use and plug into as part of it. And as I mentioned before, we also are partnering with companies like DEA and TIBCO and WebMethods to provide, you know, an EAI interface to the product so that, you know, you can call it out from within your ERP system or your PeopleSoft system or your Siebel system or your Kana contact center system. So we're really focused on providing the ability to access the system in a manner that is easier for the customer or easier for the IT organization to work with that. And then as far as, you know, it being a package solution via something that is, you know, more open source or anything like that, I think truly when you look at a product like this, what you want to have is a company that's going to stand behind it and that is going to listen to its customers and drive new functionality back into the product and maintain it over time. And that's what I think the value of having a package solution does, is because we're going to be very, very focused on making sure that SRM, or as we call it, resolution, is really an industry-leading solution.
So you are focusing on this as a workflow management and knowledge management combination, as we said, and you will try to enhance just this piece versus trying to delve into 500 other areas.
Absolutely. I mean, as we look at this as, you know, a nice upgrade to our knowledge management capabilities, and also as an augmentation to our contact center and other CRM products.
So what has been the first reaction of the people who see it? What are the good and bad reactions?
I think, you know, first off, everyone we talk to, whether it's the customers or the analysts that we work with, they all look and say, yes, this is the right problem to solve. So they look at that and say, you need to help us do this. And as we begin to, we're going to have a release in November, and we're working with a couple customers right now as early adopters, and they're driving, again, we like to use early adopters because I like to get the customer involved and get their feedback in early so that we may not have all of their feedback in the November release, but we'll be able to then start to plan in the future and take that feedback in. But what they look at is they like the ease of use. They like the ability to create their resolution flows on the fly. And then they also like the part where, you know, as I mentioned before, is within a resolution flow, you can drop out and pull data back into the resolution flow from another system. So that's really kind of two key things. They like the simplicity of it, and then they also like the fact that they're able to go out to other systems.
When you are asking the management to change the business processes in some cases, not all cases, but if they have some customer service, as we already mentioned or already discussed, that your system could be effective provided that underlying business processes are at least being thought through and, you know, they really make sense. So when you go back and you say there is something not right in the way business processes have been laid out for customer service resolution and CRM and SRM, then what is the pushback that you get and how do you go about, hand-holding them through and also convincing them that, no, this business process needs to change?
I think as people look at this, it definitely takes or requires that the business takes a lead. And the business says, yes, we are going to manage ourselves. We are going to define these processes and work through it. That has to come first, even before they decide that they're going to buy SRM. Until they understand that they have an issue and until they desire to solve that problem, technology is not going to fix it for them. So for me to come in and say, here, buy this, it's, you know, because it will solve a problem and then define the problem for them, that's backwards. They need to understand that they have a problem, that they want to document these things, and then we can have a discussion as to how to do this.
So what kind of benchmark could you use? Do you actually are wearing your consultative hat going in there to help them fine-tune or optimize their manual SRM process and then come and say, hey, now this is a package that could help you automate it?
We do that at times. We get involved in a couple areas. As I mentioned before, we like to do early adopter programs. We also like to do proof of concepts. And I think in a proof of concept, oftentimes you are doing things like that. What you're doing is you're in there, you're involved, you've got technology, you're trying to model it based on what you know of the customer's problems, and then you can learn together how to solve it.
So does SRM not have an underlying theoretical methodology or something in place which could be used as a yardstick, whether the end result of whatever you suggest to them and whatever comes out to be the final business process which will be automated using your SRM package, is that the right one? I mean, of course, nobody can say 100%, but at least it's in the right direction. What is the benchmark or the yardstick that could be used by companies?
Right. So what we do in that case is we provide verticals, and so we'll deliver along with the knowledge management and SRM products. We'll define verticals that will work in the particular industry that they're there. So out of the box, you may get something that is 50 to 70% defined as part of that. But at any business, as you look at the way they do business, you know, you can compare telecoms and say, yes, in general they do it this way. But then the business process starts to really be company specific. So So you need to give them a vanilla implementation that they can then model and grow and map to their own company's processes.
So while when you're all done with the, you can say, implicit or implied selling from the standpoint, okay, this is, and this is not you, Kana, as in particular, I'm just speaking of the whole SRM industry or vendor group that is going to be pitching this solution to the vendors. Once you have told them, yes, you need it, and then you help them go through the business process optimization for the service resolution, then comes the measures of ROI and TCO, which would actually have them sign on the dotted line. How do you, what kind of measure, how do you help them, and are there any specific measures that could be picked up, any formulas, something which would help them make a proactive assessment of what they're going to get out of this?
There's actually three things we look at. One is overall cost reduction. And so by defining your business processes, by automating them, you're going to solve your customers' problems faster, and you are going to give them the right answers, and by solving them their problems faster and giving them the right answers, you're actually going to be able to deal with more customers. And so there's going to be an overall cost reduction. You may be able to even reduce the number of heads that you have supporting these, because now you have a process that you're managing. The second thing is we actually look at this and say, SRM is going to help you increase revenue. And why, though, is because, again, if you're actually solving your customers' problems, if you're actually doing that, it's most likely going to lead to future business. So, again, if I hang up for my telecom provider and I'm actually happy because I got an answer and it was relatively quickly, I'm going to think, you know, and they may actually even offer to sell me something then, but I'm going to be more inclined to do more business with them, and that's going to be key. And then finally, the way we look at this is, again, you know, we're not trying to rip and replace. We're not trying to solve. You know, we're not trying to come in and say, no, everything you've done for the past 10 years is wrong. Rip it out and put this in. What we're saying is, no, this is a value-add augmentation strategy. So you'll be able to get this up and running. You'll be able to see ROI much more quickly, and it'll start to add value.
When we look at SRM, definitely while we are helping solve the problem, it's also generating data, and it's also kind of identifying patterns of what works and what doesn't work. So do you think, I mean, in fact, you'd be able to give a good description of how the business intelligence could benefit, overall with business intelligence for an organization benefit from SRM?
I think one of the things that SRM has to do in the future is learn. And so one of the things that we're looking at our resolution flows is, as you define these things and as you pull information together, you can maintain, so you're on the fly and you're creating a resolution flow because this is a new business process that you're dealing with a customer for real time. SRM needs to learn those things. And as you learn those things, you feed that back into business intelligence. Because what does business intelligence do? Well, it provides you a mechanism to run your business. It's a methodology that says, here is a dashboard that I'm giving you that you can actually pull and understand the various metrics. Well, SRM is going to be able to give you some of those metrics. SRM is going to tell you how long it took to manage that customer interaction. SRM is going to tell you whether or not you were successful in reaching that. And as I said before, as you look at this and know that, you know, you need to, customer satisfaction is dropping, and in order to keep your customers happy, you have to do this better. These are going to be key metrics for any business to run themselves with.
So one was the statistical business intelligence that we're talking, where we would get some numbers. Okay, what, you know, these many people got successfully, they had their problems successfully resolved. Other thing is the semantic side of it, as I just mentioned about the fact that if a particular approach to solving a problem helps, then let that be made available to other agents as well as something which you could be, which is tried and tested and it's worked. So that could be a business problem or a customer service problem resolution workflow, which is kind of learned on the fly, and it is kind of embedded in your library now, and this made available to other agents. They could basically it'll result in faster resolution even then.
Yes, I agree. I think you know, one of the things as we look at that is, you know, any customer interaction, you know, it costs money. And so the quicker you can do these things, the better off you are from your company's perspective, but also from the customer's perspective.
Right, take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back after these messages, and let's talk about what can SRM do and what it cannot from the standpoint of other issues related to human interaction and cultural issues that are surfacing just because we are taking our call centers to different countries, and also there are geographically dispersed organizations across the globe. So let's delve more into this when we come back from the break, so please stay tuned.
Today, college graduates average 75 to 110% more income than non-graduates. But if you don't have time to go to college, let the college come to you via the internet. At University of Phoenix Online, you can earn your degree when and wherever you want in just 2 to 3 years. University of Phoenix is the largest private accredited university in the U.S. We offer degree programs in business, technology, nursing, education, and more. Call University of Phoenix Online at 1-800-797-3011.
Looking for ways to improve your IT department? Then visit www.avval.com today. Avval is a professional services firm with a mission to help companies align IT with their business objectives through strategy, technology, branding solutions, and services. Our commitment is to ensure bottom-line improvements as a result of services rendered by us, whether it's an IT needs assessment, strategy development, or related implementation. We back it up by our unconditional, positive ROI guarantee. To find out how Avval can help your company, visit www.avval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Avval, making IT work and look better. www.avval.com. Visit today.
Are you looking for a unique perspective on today's market from an experienced economist? Well, look no further. Listen to The Economic Contrarian with host Mike Norman every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time on Business America Radio. Mike and his guests will discuss new trends in the marketplace, as well as emerging companies and opportunities. So if you want in-depth analysis from a contrarian point of view, don't miss The Economic Contrarian Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific Time right here on BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
You're listening to BusinessAmericaRadio.com, the leader in live business talk radio.
You are listening to Managing Technology the Right Way, brought to you by the University of Phoenix Online. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free at 1-866-233-7861. Now back to the show. Here's Sun Jogal.
Welcome back to the show, folks. For listeners who've just tuned in, today's topic is the service resolution management, and our guest for today's show is Alan Hubbard. Alan is Executive Vice President of Research and Development with Kana Software. Before the break, we had picked up a point with respect to the human interaction and cultural differences and the things which the problems which they pose when we are trying to handle customer service issues, especially when we have globally dispersed call centers and or organizations. So what is SRM doing in that respect? Fine, there would be a workflow management and knowledge management, everything would be there, but at the end of the day, a human being is dealing with another human being. So what is being done to facilitate or help in that regard?
I think actually when you think of SRM, it takes some of that out of the picture. And so what you're training people on is the business process. And so now they're understanding the business process, and every one of the agents is executing that business process in the same way. And so you're driving them to consistent, concise, correct answers with the customer interaction. So I think the cultural differences become less important because now you're not having to train people on systems and making sure that they understand the five or six systems that they need to use, and they may get confused early on in their training with what to do and when to do it. You take that out of that because you're now training them on the process and they can easily work through those things. And so I think SRM from that perspective is actually going to add a tremendous amount of value.
Now, let me ask you this. While, of course, as a product vendor, it goes against you, but are there any reasons why a particular enterprise should not choose to go for SRM?
should not choose to go to SRM.
I mean, what would be the different factors? Or maybe they are too early in that. I mean, one, of course, natural thing is to say your business processes are not up to speed. That's one, of course, obvious reason. But are there any, because when you qualify a customer, even as when you're trying to go and approach them, there would be some qualification criteria. This is good for this kind of company versus not good for this kind of company because it will not create enough value for them to spend that much money.
Right. I think, you know, if we look at companies, you know, this is really directed at the call center with a call center that has the hundreds of agents, you know, so where there's a tremendous amount of people working on a product. That's not to say it couldn't work at a call center with 10 to 15 agents. It really could, but it really is driven and focused on some of the largest companies and saying that how do we then automate those problems? Because I think if you've got a smaller call center, you probably don't have some of the training issues that are there. You may not have as much turnover and things like that. So this may not solve, the pain might not be there for the smaller companies, where this pain is definitely there for the larger call centers as they try to do their jobs.
For any adoption of SRM for an organization, are there some factors which are very key? Because if they're not kept in mind, then it could be a recipe for disaster if they were to implement SRM?
I think, and I've said this a couple times now, it really is the definition of the business process and understanding it, and then really prioritizing it also. What are the most important ones? What are the ones that you're going to get the biggest bang for the buck for as solving your customers' problems? Where is your customer's pain? And that's really understanding what your customer's problems are. And it's kind of interesting is when you go into this, you know, oftentimes, you know, when I visit call centers and talk to our customers, I say, you know, when was the last time you really asked your customers what their problems are with you? And, you know, somebody will always stand up and say, oh, we already know. We already know what their problems are, and here they are. And, you know, generally if there's 10 issues, they'll get, you know, 6-7 of them right. But what happens is they won't get them all. And when they don't get them all, what they're missing is that customer interaction piece and actually satisfying or increasing the customer satisfaction as a part of that. So it's something that you really have to spend the time and turn around and look at your customers and say, what are your problems and how am I difficult as a company to deal with, and understanding that. So it's a different methodology. It's a different approach. So, yes, it's document the business processes and understand what those are, but it's also understand what your customers' pain points are and making sure that your business process actually maps to solving those pain points.
So what do you see in terms of the standards that are available? First of all, you know, any new technology for it to be evolving properly and not have 10 different vendors forcing their own 10 new standards. Are there any standards bodies being established? Are there been any focus groups? I mean, not exactly focus group, but some standard bodies which are kind of...
One of the standards bodies that we've been working with lately is BPMI, the Business Process Management Initiative. And truly, you know, as you know, this is a group that has been trying for a number of years to document how you capture business process, how you actually document that in a common manner, and that you might even be able to share to your earlier question from a B2B perspective with other companies, you know, because again, if you have a business process that spans multiple enterprises, how do you communicate that? So we've begun to work with those folks and say, okay, how does that map into SRM? Because business process is obviously, you know, the underlying issue here of how do you define it, how do you manage it, how do you work with it within your organization. So we've started working with them, understanding where they're at, how they're approaching it, and where we might be able to add value and where we can take some of what they've done and use it internally.
Well, how do you see the academia and the corporations or the enterprises help? How can they contribute towards successful evolution of this technology?
I think... From the perspective of the business world, I think what they will bring to the table here is better definition of what the problem is, of what we're trying to solve, of how to solve that problem. So I think that's really critical, because I think, you know, with have people like myself who have worked in this industry for a long time, and again, part of the issue is sometimes you think you already know the answer. You think you already know the problem. And yes, we might know 60 or 70% of it, but what the enterprises are going to bring to the table is, no, here are the real issues that you need to focus on. And then as far as academia is concerned, I think this is where some of the new applications of the technology will arise. As we look at, you know, people will start to see what we're doing and how we're doing it, and then they'll take that and it'll begin to evolve. And how do you actually use that? And academia is always the place where some of that leading edge comes from. And, you know, you really need to be able to listen to that, because I think sometimes people will turn and say, well, that's not real world experience. You know, that's just academics. But, you know, truthfully, that's where some of the best ideas come from. So what we need to do as a company is listen to our customers, and then listen to the people who can actually point us in the right direction and say, these are some of the technologies that you could apply to this solution.
Now, how do you see SRM evolving in coming years? There's, of course, you are creating the first flavor of SRM right now, but there would be certain things which you see already in, like, you know, 2 or 3 years down the line or maybe more, you will see a totally different, you know, aspects of that coming up.
I think we've touched on a couple of them. One is the overall learning, you know, having the ability to learn as you go through and work with your customers and capture that information. And we do that in some ways today, but it needs to become much more sophisticated. And then the linkage back to the overall business. So, you know, if you think of the call center itself and the metrics that it provides, you know, it really is the front-facing piece of the corporation to the customer. And so you need to understand what those interactions are, how well they went, what's the perception of the customer. So feeding that back into the overall strategic direction of a company. So how can you facilitate that as part of a resolution flow? And then finally, there's always going to be new technologies. There'll be new platforms that you need to work on, whether it's Wi-Fi, as we talked about a little earlier. You know, there's always going to be something there that we're going to look and say, I need to provide that functionality there.
On behalf of the show and our listeners, I would like to thank you, Alan, for sharing your thoughts and insights about service resolution management.
Thank you, Sanjog. I mean, it's really been a pleasure to sit here and talk. This is really, you know, it's a new niche. It's something that, you know, I think everybody, as they start to peel back the onion and understand what SRM is, they realize very, very quickly that it's solving the customer's problem, and that's what's the most important thing.
Thank you again. Service resolution management aims at addressing an important issue related to effectively solving a customer problem. Now, being a technology, it can primarily help in optimizing information availability to customer service, real-time access to relevant case information, and automate a few other customer service-related tasks. Now, there are areas related to customer service personnel training and optimization of underlying customer service business processes and guidelines. These are the two things which definitely SRM does not have control over, because that's what's controlled by the business, and they are very critical and need to be addressed before SRM can actually create value. We have to wait and watch if SRM has the same fate or is going to have the same fate as CRM, that is not enough ROI realized after millions of dollars already invested. Hope the lessons we have learned with CRM would be used and people would make corrective measures so that SRM comes out to be having much more value to the vendors as well as to the potential adopters, and since they will be more cautious. What are your thoughts about service resolution management, and can it help your organization? Let us know your thoughts at talkshow.participate@avval.com. That is talkshow.participate@avval.com. Thank you again for listening to Managing Technology the Right Way. This is Sanjog Aul, your talk show host. Till next Friday, take care and God bless.
Thank you for listening to Managing Technology the Right Way. Please join Sanjog Aul next Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time right here on BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
Talk radio with a business.